of Welcome to Just a Minute. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute walls fade away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world to this delightful game. And I'm also delighted to say that this is the first in a brand new series of Just a Minute. And it's also my pleasure to welcome back four outstanding players of the game. From the world of comedy, we have the delightful, outrageous Paul Merton, the charmingly witty Julian Clary, and from the world of theatre, the irrepressibly exuberant Derek Nimmo, and from the world of journalism, politics, and culinary matters, the multifaceted Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Linda Cobley, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent Theatre Royal, a beautiful theatre right in the centre of that marvellous city of Bath. And before us, we have a very excited, hyped-up Bath audience. And the first subject is Bath Oliver. Isn't that delightful? Paul Merton, will you take the subject? Bath Oliver, you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Many of you might be fans of the Laurel and Hardy films. I was reading something rather interesting about these movies the other day. You have these bits towards the end of each motion picture where Oliver Hardy looks into the...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Too Hardy.
Yes.
Yes, there were two Harveys, so then in repetition. So, Clement, Derek, isn't
Derek,
it?
Derek, that's right. That's right.
Have you not been introduced?
No. Derek, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. There are 47 seconds left, and it is Bath Oliver starting now.
Well, these are these wonderful biscuits that were invented by Dr. Oliver, which are supposed to cure your liver. And when the poor old fellow, who's a physician, snuffed it, he left the recipe to his coachman, Mr. Atkins, and he nipped along to a handily adjacent man who could make these bits of confectionery and made an absolute packet out of it. I also think of Bath Oliver because the pub in Broad Street called Oliver, which I go to a great deal because they make a very mean margarita, third Cointreau, similar amount of tequila and some lime juice, and I stung it down my throat at Bath Oliver's. I do think it is a particularly welcoming hostelry in a city of such splendor.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Bath is not a city. It's a town.
I was going to say, there hasn't been a reaction like that in a theatre since Abraham Lincoln last 10 years.
Is that why that box is empty?
I think
there?
So. It's a tribute to him.
Right. Clement, you have 4 seconds, having got a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, Bath Oliver, starting now.
Bath Oliver, like Liverpool Nimmo, is a confection which I would...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Clement Freud, so you're not surprised to discover that he is in the lead at the end of that round. Derek, would you take the next subject? It's called manners. I'm sure some of you know a great deal about. Will you talk on the subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Manners is the family name of the Dukes of Rutland, who live at Beaver Castle in the Fair County of Rutlandshire. Manners is something also you try to teach to your children. I have a son who's married to a very pretty girl called Marina, whose parents live in Bath, her surname is Flower, and I tried to teach him manners when he was little, which was frightfully different, because I noticed one day he was wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. I said, oh, that is disgusting. Why don't you use something else? He said, no, because...
Paul, you challenge him. What was it?
I've forgotten, to be honest.
I would tell you, it was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
And it was a correct challenge of hesitation. And the subject is manners, and there are 31 seconds left, starting now.
Lady Chatterley was looking for a new chauffeur, and she decided to employ the first man that came to visit her that morning. He, in fact, his name was Mellors, which was unfortunate, as there was a Stan Manners outside who would equally have done the job very well, I'm sure, but for the fact that he hadn't got there on time. She was a scrupulously difficult employer, was the woman I mentioned earlier, because she used to insist that she would have a bath with her friend Oliver every morning at about 11:30. And of course, this put an enormous strain on the...
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, so he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Julian Clary, your turn to begin. Rank outsiders. that is the subject. Can you talk on it for 60 seconds if you can, starting now?
Certainly can. An outsider.
Very challenging.
And I hope to taste it.
The answer was he couldn't, but I mean, if they were.
Derek, Julian has only played the game twice before, and you have been playing
first
it
time in England,
years.
Too.
And so I'm not going to allow that one and say, Julian, you were interrupted. It was a first time back after a two-year absence from the show. So you have a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject with 58 seconds to go. Rank outsiders starting now.
A rank outsider is an outsider with a personal hygiene problem. I think to be an outsider is bad enough, but to be a rank outsider must be terrible. The good thing about being a rank outsider is it gives you the opportunity to come from behind, which, in my experience, is not to be sniffed at, if you follow my drift. I used to play a lot of rugby when I was at school, and I was a rank outsider because I never got anywhere near the ball at all. On one occasion, the ball just landed in my...
And Derek has challenged, yes.
Ball. Well, I hate to say it, but two balls.
And strangely enough, you can't have two balls in just a minute, because that becomes repetition. 26 seconds are available. Derek, rank outsiders with you starting now.
I was given a horse named Dig Up St. Edmunds, which I was told was a rank outsider by a distinguished member of this panel. In fact, the GG came into...
Yes, Clement.
Repetition.
Yes, that's right. The audience even got it before you, as you pressed your buzzer. 15 seconds for you, Clement, with another point, of course. Rank outsider starting now.
If you wanted me to cite a rank outsider, a pilot officer, second lieutenant, even lance corporal is the sort of rank outside which it would be hard to get unless one had no rank at all.
Paul Merton has challenged.
What's he talking about? I'm big enough to admit that I'm lost completely.
Right. It's what I call a bit of Freud hyperbole, which I don't think, I realise it's sort of deviating from the what is an outsider. You can be, those people who hold those rank don't think they're rank outsiders. If you think that you want their rank outsiders, I mean, you can't make that hard
Nicholas,
and fast.
You've understood more than I have.
In that case, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say you have the have a point. And 1 second to go on rank outsider Paul, starting now.
Well, of course, the figures.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went and has moved forward. He's just in the lead ahead of Clement Freud and then Derek Nimmer and Julian Clary in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. Would you take the subject of gratuities and tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
A gratuity is money and or benefit paid in order to obtain better service than you might otherwise get. 10%, 12.5%, even 15% are the sort of figures which are occasionally added to accounts to pay to those people whose job it is and who are given money in order to perform them.
Was all you had to say on it, was it, Clement?
For the moment.
Yes, right. Derek got
I
in first. Hesitation. Gratuities is with you, Derek, and there are 35 seconds to go starting now.
Well, when Tommy Cooper was getting out of a taxi, he handed the driver a tea bag and said, "Have a drink on me," which I always thought was a particularly mean gratuity for anyone to give, even such a wonderfully accomplished and amusing comedian as the aforementioned Mr. T.C. I don't like having to give gratuities in restaurants. I think it's much better that I do as the French do and include it in the bill. It's terribly difficult when you've had absolutely ghastly...
Julian, you challenged.
Did he sort of trip over his words then?
Yes, he often trips over his words, but I mean...
You just turn a blind eye.
Well, we do when you don't start, you
see. We're not getting on at all well.
I think that facetious remark of Derek's means that you should have the benefit of the doubt here, Julian, and take the subject with 7 seconds to go on gratuities starting now.
I always like to give a large tip, especially if I'm in a Greek restaurant and there's a Greek waiter who looks like he might be hungry.
Very challenging.
Greeks. Two Greek waiters.
Oh, two Greeks, yes.
Oh, lovely idea. Yeah.
Derek, you've got in. You see, so you lose the subject and you gain extra points, don't you? Because you got back in with 1 second to go on gratuities, starting
Mr.
now.
Mr. Charles Forty employed me at work.
Right, so at the end of that round, Derek Nimmer speaking to us, went, and we now come back to Julian to begin the next round. And the subject, Julian, is the press. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The Press is an obscure underground film which concerns itself with sexual activity on underground trains.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
He was underground twice.
You went too underground.
It's difficult.
It's a difficult game, Julian, yes.
Yeah.
53 seconds with you, Derek. The Press, starting now.
Noel Coward was once asked by the Sun newspaper what he would like to say to them, and he said, "Shine," which always seemed to me to be a reasonable remark.
Paul, you challenge.
Deviation, that's the wrong story.
What is it
then? They said there was a paper called The Star, and they said, "Have you got anything to say to
Twinkle,
The Star?" And he said, "Yes, Twinkle."
That is absolutely correct. That is what he did say, and he's quoted as that. So you were deviating the fact you were misquoting.
It is actually a true quote.
You mean he used the same joke twice?
So I agree with you. He did say Twinkle to the Star, and you have 43 seconds on the Press, Paul, starting now.
When we think of the wonderful achievements throughout all the towns of this city, is there a greater sense of wonder than what's come out of the city of Corby, the trouser press? We see it in our hotel room. Has anyone ever used one? I never have. They're quite good for keeping your toast warm in the morning. If you keep them down and stick it in the middle of this machine, and it is indeed kept to a mildly lukewarm temperature throughout the entire AM period of the day. And also, I think, we generally...
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of think, and the trouser presses are not made in Corby, they're made in Windsor.
Well, you get 1 point for a correct challenge of repetition, but I don't give you another one for cleverness. 16 seconds for you, Clement, on the Press, starting now.
In the West Country, a press would be thought to be a cider press, where cider in cider in cider.
Derek Nimmer challenge. There's too much cider, Derek, so 8 seconds for you on the Press, starting now.
A washerwoman was attacked by a sex maniac, and he fled away. And the headline the next day was, "Washer School."
What was the headline?
Oh, Lord. Nuts. Nuts, screws, washer, and bolts, is it?
It's a bit of an anticlimax if you don't build up naturally to the payoff, isn't it? But you were speaking as a whistle went. You gained that extra point for doing so. Derek, you have moved forward. You're still behind Paul Mutton, who's in the lead. Clement, we're back with you to start. Taking the waters. Oh, how apt for this lovely, lovely place of Bois. Taking the waters, Clement. 60 seconds, starting now.
The French have a thing about their livers, as a consequence of which Perrier, Evian, Vittel, Vichy and Contrexville are places to which Frenchmen go a lot and take the waters. They walk around carrying a glass, holding it up to the sun and the stars if it is in the evening, and if it's after 1964 when the aforementioned newspaper first hit the light of day. And they feel that taking the waters is enormously beneficial to their insides, better than cider, which is drunk in the West Country a lot. And I know that Bath has a tremendous reputation for the waters. If you read Jane Austen, you find that all sorts of people from different parts of the country, also Scotland, gather in...
Paul Challenge.
Sadly, that was hesitation.
Oh, sadly it was, because you magnificently went for 55 seconds. And that's what can happen in just a minute. You'll go as strong as that, and he doesn't get any points at all unless he gets it back in 5 seconds' time. But Paul got in, a point for a correct challenge, and 5 seconds on taking the water starting now.
I suppose there are a lot of people who regard taking the waters as one of the healthiest...
So Paul Merton got that extra point and now has increased his lead at the end of the round. Oh, what a lovely subject. My worst nightmare. Paul, I think you can do justice to that one in this game, starting now.
Well, I've been having my worst nightmares, funnily enough, in the last week, because in a few days' time, I will be going back to the world of stand-up comedy that I haven't done for about 10 years, and I've had these terrible dreams where I am standing on stage and I haven't got a clue what I'm going to say next. Nobody is laughing, and so I say to the audience, does anybody here have a question? And I know that if I have it,
Julian!
I started to think about it, and it's horrible.
He hesitated.
He did hesitate, Julian. And there are 38 seconds for Julian to tell us something about my worst nightmare, starting now.
My worst nightmare would be when they ran out of baby sham in my local hostelry. What would I drink to wet my whistle when I go home after a long day's work?
Long day's work? When have you ever done a long day's work?
What are you changing for, Derek?
Hesitation.
No!
And also, if he's got...
The audience have endorsed it.
But if they'd run out of baby sham in this hostelry...
He laughed at his own slip-up.
If he went home to drink it, he wouldn't have bought it anyway, would he?
But that would be deviation, so that's got nothing to do with it. Hesitation. So, Julian, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 28 seconds to tell us more about my worst nightmare, starting now.
I woke up in a cold sweat because I couldn't taste those bubbles in the back of my throat. I thought, this can't go on. What am I going to do? So I went to the beautiful city of Bath and consoled myself because they've got some lovely pubs there and they're full of baby sham to the very...
German challenge.
Too much baby sham.
You had too much baby sham.
Oh, it's not possible.
Amen. I have 12 seconds left. My worst nightmare, starting now.
To talk of my worst nightmare presupposes that one can have a best nightmare, which I personally would not accept. My worst nightmare, therefore, is the sort of thing...
Right, so, Clement Freud speaking as a whistle went. Julian Clary, we're back with you, and the subject is urban myths. Can you tell us something about that in your baby sham besotted life?
Besotted.
60 seconds starting now.
An urban myth about me is that I'm married with 3 children. It's simply not true. The actual basis of urban myths are a mystery. It's a kind of fact.
Very challenged.
Hesitation.
No, of course not. And the audience have endorsed it once again. Julian, you have another point, and you have 50 seconds on urban myths, starting now.
There are them as do say that Cliff Richard has got a colostomy bag, and this is another example of an urban myth. The man hasn't got a anything like that.
That's where you have to translate one of those things instead of repeating the phrase or the word.
I know, I'm getting the hang of it now.
I know. Paul, you challenged first. Urban myths, 42 seconds, starting now.
Well, the source of urban myths is very difficult to determine. It's usually a friend of a pal that it's happened to. Oh, I was on holiday in Safari when this mad axeman cut off the head of a warder in the park and held it above the car. And when you actually question the original source, I've said source twice.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. There are 22 seconds available. Urban myths as a subject. You start now.
In my local hostelry, which is called the Nine Naked Geriatrics, there is a man who is hot on urban myths. His favorite story is about a man on safari.
Paul Talent.
Two mans. Man right. And man.
Yes, that's right. Repetition of man. So, Paul, you got in with 8 seconds on the subject of urban myths, starting now.
If you really examine these stories, there is a magazine called...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of stories.
Yes, you did have stories before.
Did I have stories before?
Yes, absolutely. You did. And so Clement's got in with 6 seconds to go on urban myths, starting now.
A Rolls Royce bought on the 19th of any calendar month is the urban myths habit.
Right. At the end of that round, Paul Merton has increased his lead. He's in a strong position ahead of the other three, who are almost equal in second place. Clement, we're into the last round. Why did they laugh, I wonder?
It's always been a mystery.
Such a lovely audience. The last laugh. What a wonderful subject on which to finish the show. Clement, it's your turn, so tell us something about the last laugh in this game, starting now.
The last laugh is a wonderful subject on which to finish this show, says Nicholas Parsons. And I can't say I agree, because the last laugh...
Derek Nimmer, you challenged.
Well, he stopped.
He did start, yes, because there was a laugh, but it wasn't the last laugh, because we hope we're going to have some more in this round, as you continue with 50 seconds, starting now.
I must say, to have the last laugh is a wonderful thing. He who laughs last, laughs longest, so they say.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of laughs.
Yes, the subject on the card is last laugh, and you said laughs twice. Don't look so surprised, Eric. I can assure you, you did do that. Actually, I must explain to the listeners, sometimes when they've made a challenge and they disagree with it, they stare at me as if to bluff me out of it. And that's what that sort of...
No, we're looking at you with contempt.
I don't know why the audience applaud that. Right. Correct. Laughs. Repetition. 42 seconds. The last laugh with you, Paul, starting now.
It's the title of a fairly well-known German silent film, The Last Laugh, starring an actor called Emil Jennings, who made a career in...
Julian challenged.
Well, I was just about to hesitate, weren't
you? Did hesitate.
Kind of did.
Are we accepting psychic challenges? About to hesitate?
No, what I think you meant was that you were going to get in first because you realised he was hesitating, but well done. He did hesitate. And we're going to hear from everybody in this last round on The Last Laugh. And 34 seconds for you, Julian, The Last Laugh, starting now. Challenge, Paul.
Repetition of tortoise.
If you keep up this peculiar ploy, you
it's a psychic challenge.
Well... He hasn't said it yet.
Well, he hasn't, otherwise that robs the psychic nature of it by waiting to get it.
Give him a bonus point, but a point to Julian because he was interrupted. 33 seconds, the last laugh, starting now.
I know some very good jokes about tortoises, but I'm not going to do them now.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, he's not talking about the subject, he's talking about tortoises. I know some very good jokes about tortoises, but I'm not going to talk about them now. Last I'm not talking about the subject.
But he could have been going on to say that this subject was the last laugh.
Yes.
And there was a last laugh. And Paul's bonus point was got a big laugh when he said about tortoises, you see. He got a big laugh, and that was the last laugh in this particular show. So Julian didn't deviate then, so...
He only has to say tortoises once more, and everybody's going to be really amazed.
29 seconds with another point for you, Julian. The last laugh starting now.
Here we are in the last round of the show, and I'm having the last laugh because I've got about 12 points and I've never won a game.
Clement Freud challenged.
I'd just like him to have another point.
If you keep this up, he's going to win, you know. He really is. Another point to Julian Clary. 22 seconds left. The last laugh, Julian, starting now.
It's a hilarious last laugh because I'm overcome with people's kindness. And you're so kind, it's making me laugh. You think, wouldn't it be incredible if I got to the end of this round without being interrupted, with no one lunging for the buzzer like you all do morning, noon and night on this day? Nicholas sitting there with his lovely teeth. They must have cost a fortune. And that girl next to him never says anything. It really is a laugh.
Well, Julian, you brought that round to an end with style and panache, and you saw from the audience response with great affection from them. And you have leapt forward, because I've now had to give the final situation. Derek Nimmo, who has been known to win many times in 32 years, came in fourth place for once. Sir Clement Freud, who's also won many times, because he's one of the irregulars as well, came in third place. And in second place, somebody who's only played the game twice before, it was Julian Clary. A round of applause for Julian. A magnificent effort on your return, Julian, but ahead of you was a man who had most points, so we say he's the winner this week. It is the irrepressible Paul Mutton. Well, it only remains for me to say thank you to these four great players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. I also had to thank Linda Copley for keeping the score for me and blowing the whistle so elegantly every time the 60 seconds was up. We also thank our producer, Chris Neal, who keeps us in order and sees that it all comes together then very well. And also we must thank Ian Messiter, who thought of and created the game, keeps us all in work. And we are so delighted here with this wonderful reception we've had from this marvellous audience here in this lovely city, cathedral, town. Abbey Town of Bath. The warmth of your reception makes us feel we must come back again. On behalf of me, Nicholas Parsons, and all the rest of the team, we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.